We're going to begin here on the top of Hey Amud Aleph, about 9 lines down. Gemara here is discussing the question that it asked yesterday, which is that Kuli Alma Mio Chametz Mishesho Damalo Asur, which is that we know for certain that after the 6th hour the Chametz becomes Asur, and the Gemara wants to know Minolon. How do we know that? Where do we see that in the Torah that there is such a distinction made on the 14th? So yesterday we discussed the Baye's distinction, which is that Trei Kroi Ktive, you have a stira on the Psukim between Shivat Yamim, Seor Lo Yimatzei Bebatechem, and the other Pasuk of Ach Bayom HaRishon, Tashbitu Seor Mibatechem. In order to reconcile those two Psukim, Abaye says the solution is to say that the Ach Bayom HaRishon is must be speaking on the 14th. The Ach is Chileik, and when you say Ach Chileik, it gives you the division of day 14 into two parts. First half of the day being Mutar in Chametz, and the latter half of the day being Asur in Chametz. So that was Abaye's answer. Today we're going to begin with the Bei Rabbi Shmuel Tana. Matzino Yudalid Shenikra Rishon. We do find in the Psukim that the 14th day is actually called Rishon Shenemar, because the Pasuk says in Shmuel Perek Yudvet, Rishon Barbasa Yom LaChodesh. Now this is a very difficult reading of the Pasuk. The Pasuk says, Rishon Barbasa Yom LaChodesh Be'erev Tochlu Matzot Ad Yom Echad V'Srim LaChodesh Ba'arev. So Barishon in that Pasuk means Barishon in the first month, or Chodesh Nisan, from the 14th of the month, at the night, Tochlu Matzot. But here, Tana de Beis Shmuel is taking the Barishon to mean instead of the first month, but Barishon Barbasa LeChodesh, the first day, which is the 14th of the month. So because of that, he's saying that the definition of the word Barishon is the 14th. And then when we say Ach Bayom HaRishon Tashbitu, it's using the same definition of Rishon, which is the 14th. Now, Rav Nachman by Yitzhak Amar. Rav Nachman Yitzhak offers a third possibility, which is Rishon Dimikara Mashmo. The word Rishon doesn't always mean first, but many times means before or prior to. Damagra, the Pasuk says, HaRishon Adam Tivalei. This is by Yov. His friend is saying to him, the literal translation of the Pasuk is, are you the first one to be born? Are you the first man to be born? The way the Gemara is learning it here is, HaRishon Adam Tivalei. Were you born prior to Adam HaRishon? So you see the term Rishon here is being used not as the first, but rather as prior. So if that's the case, also over here, Ach Bayom HaRishon Tashbitu Sor Mibatechem, the Rishon here means prior. So not on the first day of Yom Tov, but prior to the first day of Yom Tov, you'll have to do Hashbatah, you'll have to remove the Chametz from your possession. Gemara says, well, if that's the case, Elameato, what are you going to do with the Pasuk that's found in Parshat Emor with regards to taking Lulav? Over there it says, Ulukachtem Lachem Bayom HaRishon, that you have to take the lulav bayom harishon. Hachanami rishon demikara mashma. Here you're going to tell me you have to take your lulav and all the arba minim on Erev Sukkot. So my says, shani hotam dechtiv usmachtem lifnei shalachaychem shivat yamim. Because the pasuk begins, ulkachtem lachem bayom rishon, prayed tzadar kapot marim and afet zavot varei nachal, usmachtem lifnei shalachaychem shivat yamim. So since the conclusion of the pasuk tells you that the context in which this is said is the 7 days of Sukkot, then lakachtem yom harishon, the rishon is obviously referring to the first day of those 7 days. So mashvi shvi lachag, just like the 7 days is clearly the 7th day of Sukkot, av rishon rishon lachag there. So Gemara says, hachanami ktiv, so why don't you say the same thing in our case over here? If you look at the pasuk found in Shmot Perk Yudbet with regards to our story over here, it says, shivat yamim matzot tochelu. Ach, bayom harishon, tashbitu sormi batechem. If that's the case, then the rishon here should also be in the context of the shivat yamim, and rishon should be the first day of Yom Tov. Mar says, imkei nechtov kar rishon. The apostle said rishon without the hey in front of it. Ha rishon lomali. Why does it have ha rishon, the hey yudiyah, which is, it's the first day. So here, the first day must mean prior to the first day. Shma mina l'kadam run. Like what we said before, the rishon here means prior. Ihochi atam nami. Then what are you going to do with the pasuk that's found by Parshat Emor with regards to the lulav? Over there it says, Lokachtem lachem b'yom ha-rishon. It also has hey there. So what's the ha-rishon normally? Vitu. In addition to that, hotam tiv. Also over there it's written in the context of Sukkot. In Parshat Emor, it also says over there, b'yom ha-rishon shabbaton, b'yom ha-shmi shabbaton. So there again you have the word ha-rishon being used. So Gemara says, why don't you say there in both those cases, imor rishon demikara mashma. Say that the word Rishon means prior rather than the first day. Mar says, Shani Hotam, Damakra. In that case, by Sukkot, the Pasuk in the context says, V'yom HaShmi Shabbaton. It says that the 8th day is a Shabbaton. Mashmini Shmi Dechag. There it's clear that the eighth day means the eighth day of the Chag. Af Rishon, Rishon the Chag. Because of the context, it forces you out that way. So Gemara says, HaRishon Lomali. So then again, what's the HaRishon there for? The Me'ute Cholo Shomoed. It comes to exclude Cholo Shomoed. So Gemara says, Cholo Shomoed me Rishon Ushmini Nafko. I don't need that from HaRishon. I could learn that out from 1 and 8. 1 and 8 tells me that everything in between is not Kadosh. Gemara says, Itztrich. No, I still need HaRishon. Sakadat Kaminoho Dichtiv Rachmanu Uve Yom Hashmini with a Vav. So Uve Yom Hashmini is a Chibor. Vav Mosif Al Yen Rishon. It comes to extend that which was said before. So it would be equivalent of saying, Miyom Rishon Ad Yom Hashmini. So that's what U Yom Hashmini means. That Filibish Choloshom Moed, that all of these dinim will apply even to Choloshom Moed. Kamash Balon, that that's not the case. The Gemara says, I have a simple solution for you. V'lo lichtov rachmano lo vav, v'lo hey. Just leave out both of those letters. Leave out the vav of Yom HaShmini, leave out the hey of HaRishon, and you would be in the same place as having both the letters. You're adding the letter vav and then trying to exclude it with the hey. Just leave out both letters and you won't have a problem. V'tu, hotam k'tiv. And then what are you going to do with the pasuk in Emor again? In Emor, in addition to what's written by Sukkot, it's also written by Pesach. It says, Bayom HaRishon mikra kodesh yelachem. So again, you have HaRishon that's written there. Rishon demi kara mashma. There you're going to say HaRishon means prior to the first day. So now you have a problem. And to be honest with you, the problem is much more extensive than the Gemara says, because Bayom HaRishon appears numerous times with regards to Sukkot in Parshat Emor. It appears also in Parshat Emor with regards to Pesach. And then in Perek Yud Bet in Parshat Bo, Bayom HaRishon also appears numerous times with regards to Pesach. So you have a very extensive problem here that the word HaRishon is used multiple times. And yet none of them mean prior. They all mean the first day. So Gemara says, Elohani Shlosha Rishon mi Bayile. These three times that the Rishon is used, I need for this special drasha, the Tani Debei Rabbi Shmuel. For the drasha of Rabbi Shmuel, the Tani Debei Rabbi Shmuel, Bishkar Shlosha Rishon, Zachud Shlosha Rishon. Bidishkar of these three, Kiyuma Mitzvot of HaRishon, they show were Zoche to three things that are also called Rishon. Lachrit Zarosh al Esav, to eliminate the descendants of Esav, Binyan Beit HaMikdash, to the building of the Beit HaMikdash, L'shmo Shel Mashiach, and the name of Mashiach. So Gemara is going to get proofs to that, that each one of these items has a Rishon associated with that. Achrit, Zaro Shel Esav, Dichtiv, V'yetzei HaRishon, Admoni, Kuluka, Deret Seyar. So in a description of the birth of Esav, it uses the term HaRishon. And so now the connection between HaRishon, HaRishon teaches us, as the Marsha points out, that just like by Pesach, Hashem is Dan, the enemies that subjugate us. So too, Latid Lavo, we say, Binisan Nigalu, Ubinisan Atidim Ligael. So Hashem will also depose those that are subjugating us, which now we're in the Galut of Edom, the Galut of Esav. And so that's a Midah Keneged Midah. That if we keep the HaRishon of Pesach, and we keep the Hashbot of Pesach, that Hashem will reward us with the elimination of the subjugation under the dominion of Esav. The second one is, Ulubinyan Beit HaMikdash Tichtiv, because it says in Yirmiyahu, Kisei Kavod Marom Merishon Mikom Mikdashenu, that an exalted, glorious throne, Merishon Mikom Mikdashenu. It was in the place of our Mikdash. So again, the word Rishon is used in association or in combination with the Mikdash. And here again, there's a aspect of Midah Keneged Midah, which is that Sukkot, which is the holiday that celebrates Hashem bringing the Anenei HaKavod, surrounding us, protecting us, being in the sanctuary of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So too, the reward will be the Mikdash. It's the presence of Hashem that encompasses us. And the parallel between Sukkah and Mikdash is very apparent, both in the Psukim as well as in the Drashot. Ushmo Shel Mashiach, Dichtiv, Rishon L'Tzion, Hine Hinam. The harbinger of Tzion, he gives. He's about to give or about to come. So it happens to be that Rishon L'Tzion is also the name for the title given to the chief Sephardic rabbi in Eretz Yisrael. And it's also Shmo Shel Mashiach. So I don't know if there's any connection, but I'm sure the Sfaradim picked it for a good reason. But here, Rishon LeTzion, again, the connection of the Midah Keneged Midah, the Marsha points out, is that by the regards to Lulav, its puzzle concludes, Smachtem Lifnei Hashem Elokechem Shivat Yomim, that the Simcha that's in the Mikdash that's associated with Lulav will also be associated in the future with the Simcha of the Besorah, the news that Mashiach will be coming, or that the naming of Mashiach. So now Tosafot points out in the end, this only solves your problem for three of the instances where HaRishon appears. And I just mentioned before that HaRishon appears numerous times, so how is this a solution? So Tosafot answers that anytime Harishon is used in the same context, meaning that if it's used in Sukkot, Harishon, or if it's used in Pesach, Harishon, multiple times, it's all the same drasha. It's all the same thing. And so because of that, the drasha, or this answer of Tana Debei Rabbi Shmuel, solves the problems for all those instances of Harishon.
What is interesting here is that the three things that are mentioned by the Gemara are actually the three things mentioned by the Rambam, Hilchot Melachim, as the progression, once Bnei Israel take possession of Eretz Israel, progression of setting up an independent, autonomous Jewish state in Eretz Israel, and that is Mechiyat Amalek, the establishment of a Beit HaMikdash, and the appointment of a Melech.
So now we have another attempt at an explanation here. So far we've had Abaye, then we had Tana Debei Rabbi Shmuel, now we just had the answer of Nachum Bar Yitzchak, and now we have the answer of Rava. Rava Amar Mehocho. We can learn this din out, and we know the fact that chametz is asur on Erev Pesach, Michatzot Ve'elech from here. It says, Lo tishchat al chametz dam zivchi. Pretty simple. The Torah says that you can't have chametz when you are shechting the korban HaPesach. Lo tishchat HaPesach v'dayin chametz kayam. You can't have the shechitat HaPesach while your chametz is still present or extant. Gemara says, Eima kochad v'chad kishachit. So let us say that the restriction is when you come to shecht your korban Pesach, that's when the restriction of chametz begins for you. Where it says, no, zman shechita amar merachmano. The Torah doesn't give subjective types of shiurim. The Torah gives objective shiurim. The objective shiurim will be that the time that you can shecht the korban Pesach will be a time when it's asur to have chametz. And that is time for shechitat Pesach is in the afternoon of the 14th. Starting from, technically, from Shesha Otumalo, from the 6th hour and onward, even though we don't start bringing Korbanot and we don't daven Mincha until 12:30, until 6.5 hours on the day, that's only because of a technical problem, which is that the walls are thick. The walls in Beit HaMikdash were thick and they didn't cast a shadow until a half an hour after 12. So there is different formulations of Rashi. Rashi has a formulation here. We've seen this back in the Gemara and Brachot. It'll come up again in the 5th parak here in Psachim. Rashi formulates it different ways. Sometimes he seems to indicate that Mi'ikar Din, you could daven mincha and you could bring the korban hatamid from noon. It's just in order to prevent mistakes, we added on an additional half an hour so people don't make a mistake about it. In other places, Rashi seems to indicate that that's the Ikar Din. Because of the thickness of the walls and v'chi natu talalei erev, that once they cast the shadow, that's when the Zman begins, that's what the Ikar Zman is at 12:30. But either way, that's the Zman that begins from 12 o'clock, and that's the Zman when the Isar Chametz kicks in. Now, even though there are two things that are interesting here, number one is, in order to bring the Korban HaPesach, the Korban Tamid Shel Ben Arbaim had to have been brought already, which would mean, by definition, the Korban Pesach can't start at the 6th hour because you have to bring the Korban Tamid before it. And number two is, the truth is, you're only in violation of this Iser, Lo Tishchat Chametz Dam Zivchi, when you shecht your Korban HaPesach. And it really is tailored to each individual. So Tosafot answers with regards to the Korban Tamid that b'di'evit, if you brought the Korban HaPesach before the Korban HaTamid, it would work. And so because of that, there really is a possibility of getting the Korban HaPesach starting from the 6th hour. Now, in addition to that, Tosafot says that even though it's true that the Iser of Lo Tishchat HaChametz Dam Zivchi applies to each individual and really is subjective, but since we found the Iser of Hashboto, and we also have this Iser here of having chametz at the time of Pesach, we try to bring it or have a svar. It's logical to assume that there is some sort of objective line when Hashbata kicks in and this Lo Tishchat HaChametz Dam Zivchi applies. Tanya Nami Hochi, we have a braita that supports this. Ach, b'yom harishon tashpitu sor mibatechem, mi'erev yom tov, oinelo b'yom tov atzmo. Is that from before yom tov or yom tov itself? Tamalomar, Lo Tishchat HaChametz Dam Zivchi, Lo tishchat et haPesach v'dayin chametz kayam divrei Rabbi Shmuel. So Rabbi Shmuel in his braita says the same thing that we just saw from Rava. Same idea that the korban haPesach is what's driving the Isur chametz on erev Pesach. It's interesting to note that over here you say divrei Rabbi Shmuel, that's the opinion of Rabbi Shmuel. And before we had Tana debei Rabbi Shmuel, they had a braita from the Beit Midrash of Rabbi Shmuel that gave a different answer, which is that Yudalit is called Rishon. The Tosafot points out that many places in Shas we find that you have disagreements or discrepancies between Rabbi Shmuel himself and Tana Debei Rabbi Shmuel. Now we have Rabbi Akiva's opinion in the Braita, who introduces to us a new way to solve this problem or to understand why it is that it must be on Erev Pesach. Says Eino Tzarich Harimer Ach Vayomer Rishmon Tashbitu Seor Mibatechem. Says on the first day you have to eliminate the Seor from your possession, from your dwellings. Uchtiv Gomalacha Lo Yasebehem. that you're not allowed to do any malacha on the holiday of Pesach. Umatzina la'avara shi'av malacha. And we know that havara, burning or kindling a fire on Yom Tov, is an av malacha. So you have a problem. You can't accomplish tashbitu on Yom Tov itself because they're incongruous. You can't kindle a fire on Yom Tov for the purpose of burning the chametz. So since it can't be possible to do it on Yom Tov, it must be that it is on Erev Yom Tov. The Gemara will come back in a second and discuss this position of Rabbi Akiva. Then Rabbi Yossi Omer, we have a third opinion in the Braita, which is similar to the position of Abaye that we saw earlier in the Gemara, which is, Eino tzarich, Omer, ach v'yom rishon tashbitu sor mi batechem, me'er of Yom Tov, eino b'yom Tov. Is that from before Yom Tov and Yom Tov itself? Tamal Omer, ach chilek, the ach that we saw before in Abaye's position, ach chilek means that we divide it. And you can only divide it up, as Rashi says here, and as he said before, that the hashboto is what determines the beginning of the Isur Bayre Bayimatse. So it's impossible to have the chiluk like this on Yom Tov itself, because Yom Tov itself is all 7 days, you're asur b'se'or, you're asur b'chametz. So you can't be that chilek, that all of a sudden you do hashbata on Yom Tov itself, and before that it was mutar, and after that it was asur. So achilek must have to take place on Erev Yom Tov. Tosafot had a different approach, which we discussed yesterday. Here, Rabbi Yossi is similar to what we saw in Abaye. Baby Yom Tov Atzmo, Mishori. If it was on Yom Tov itself, you couldn't do that. Ait Kesh, Hashvat Atzor, Lechlat Chametz, we saw at the top of the Amud, that there's a Hekesh between the elimination of Seor and the eating of Chametz, Achilat Chametz, Achilat Matzah. And there's a Hekesh then between Achilat Chametz and Achilat Matzah, and we saw that Achilat Matzah is from the beginning of Yom Tov Me'erev for all 7 days. And just like the restriction on Achilat Chametz is for all 7 days, so too the Hashbata Tzor is for all 7 days. And that would be incongruous with Ach V'yom Rishon Tashbitu. And so therefore it must be that it's speaking on Erev Yom Tov. But here we had the numerous solutions to our problem about how do we know that there's an Isur Chametz starting on Erev Yom Tov. We have Abaye and Rabbi Yossi who point out the inconsistency between Ach V'yom Rishon and Shivat Yomim. And it's impossible to have Yom HaRishon be in the Shivat Yamim, because otherwise you'd have a part of the Shivat Yamim that were not Asurim. So the solution to that problem is Achilek, to say that halfway through Yudalid, you have an Isur Chametz. We then had the attempt of a solution by Bei Rabbi Shmuel, who says that Yudalid is called Rishon, because of the Pasuk, V'Rishon Barbasar Yom LaChodesh. Then we had Rav Nachman Yitzchak's solution, the third solution, which is that Rishon means before, and not the first. Then we had Rava's solution, which is Lo Tishchat HaChametz Dam Zivchi, that the Korban HaPesach, or the Shkitat Korban HaPesach, is what drives this Isur Chametz. You can't have them together. And since the Shkitat HaPesach is on Erev Pesach, Ben Arbayim, so that's when there's an Isur Chametz. And then we had a sixth answer, which is Rabbi Akiva's answer, which is Hashbota requires Biur, the elimination, the burning of the Chametz, and that you can't do on Yom Tov. So it must be that it's done before Yom Tov. So now Amar Rava. Rava says, from Rabbi Akiva's position, Shmamina mit Rabbi Akiva Tlat. We conclude three things from the position of Rabbi Akiva. Shmamina, the first is, Ein Biur Chametz El Sreifa, it's a machloket later on in the Mesechta between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim as to how you can accomplish Biur Chametz. So it's clear that Rabbi Akiva believes that Biur Chametz can only be done by Sreifa. Because if he believed you could do Biur Chametz with some alternative besides Sreifa, then you wouldn't have a problem here. You could do it on Yom Tov. You know, you can flush it down the toilet, you can throw it into the river, you can throw it into the wind, like we do whenever Pesach falls out on Shabbat. So it's clear that Rabbi Akiva believes that Biur Chametz is Sreifa, and that's why he has an issue. Number two is, Shmamina Havara Dechalek Yatzat. The other thing is a machloket that we've seen before between Rabbi Natan and Rabbi Yossi with regards to why does the Torah specify or delineate Biur Havara on Shabbat separately. Lo Tivaru Esh B'chol Moshevotechem B'yom HaShabbat. Why is that separated out? Why is that enumerated independently of all the other malachot? So it's machloket between Rabbi Natan and Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi says it's because Havara is different than the other malachot. The other malachot have a chiyuv karet associated with them, a chiyuv skila associated with them. On the other hand, Havara is lav yatzot. It's only an Easter lav. It's only a chiyuv malkot. It's not a chiyuv karet, not a chiyuv skila. Rabbi Natan says that's not the reason it was written separately. It was written separately to teach you something. And that is to teach you, just like Havara is an independent malacha and stands alone, so too each one of the 39 malachot stands independently. So if you're in violation of Shabbat, multiple malachot, you're not just in violation of one Isur Shabbat, you're in violation for each malacha or each av malacha, separate Isur on Shabbat. And that's what Havara comes to teach you, is lechalek yatzat. Now why is it that Rabbi Akiva has to hold this way? The Rabbeinu Chananel suggests, it's a very difficult suggestion, but the Rabbeinu Chananel suggests over here that had it been Lelav Yatzat, had he agreed with Rabbi Yossi and said that it was simply a Lot Aseh, then you would say that the Aseh of Hashbat or of Tashbitu comes and is Doche the Lot Aseh of Havara. The difficulty with that is manifold. One is that we know that Yom Tov involves both an Aseh and a Lot Aseh. So it's not simply that you have an Aseh Doche Lot Aseh. It's an Aseh trying to be Doche, an Aseh and a Lot Aseh, which doesn't usually work. The second thing is that the Gemara in other places notes that Aseh Doche Lot Aseh only applies when they are simultaneous, when the accomplishment of the Aseh and the violation of the Lot Aseh happen simultaneously. And that's not necessarily true here. Here you kindle the fire and you light the fire, which is the Isser on Yom Tov, and the accomplishment of Teshbitu is only after you've burnt the chametz completely. So the two are not necessarily simultaneous. You can be in violation of the law before you ever accomplish the aseh. So Tosafot and Rashi offer alternatives to why it has to be that it's l'chalek yatzat. Rashi says, because Rabbi Akiva said on the previous amud that Havara is an av melacha. And he would only call it an av melacha if it was one of the 39 avot melachot and it had the same din as the other avot melachot. Whereas, if you say the lav yatzat, it wouldn't be considered one of the avot melachot. As Rashi says, Alma the Rabbi Yossi, lav av melachahi, that it's not called an av melacha according to Rabbi Yossi. So that's Rashi's way of dealing with it. Tosafot brings another option, which is that only something that's called an av melacha on Shabbat is actually asur on Yom Tov. Yom Tov, which we've discussed before, uses the paradigm of Shabbat and says, okay, I know what's Asur on Shabbat, and that's what's Asur on Yom Tov minus Ochel Nefesh. But it starts with the paradigm, or starts with the structure of Shabbat. And what Tosafot suggests over here is that something that is not an Av Malacha, or doesn't have an Easter Karet and Skila associated with it on Shabbat, would not be Asur on Yom Tov. Now, the nafkamina between them is serious because there are at least a number of things on Shabbat that are only Isur Lav, including Shvitat Behema, Shvitat Eved, that don't involve an Isur Karet or an Isur Skila Av Melacha. And so the nafkamina, Rashi and Tosafot will be whether there are Surim on Yom Tov or not a Surim on Yom Tov. But there you have three different approaches as to why it must be that Rabbi Kiva believes Havara is the Chalek Yatzat, that he holds like Rabbi Natan. Shmamina. Lo amrinan hoyel v'hutra havar l'tzorech hutra nami shelo l'tzorech. The last thing we know from Bikiva is that we don't say on Yom Tov, just because havara is mutar l'tzorech, for needs of Yom Tov, for ochel nefesh, that we say that havara then is mutar l'gamre, which is a principle that we'll get to in the Gemara in Beitza, but a machloka between Beit Hillel and Beit Shammai with regards to whether when we say something is mutar on Yom Tov, or melacha is mutar on Yom Tov, does that mean that it's only mutar on Yom Tov for the purpose of Ochel Nefesh, or once we say that Havara is mutar on Yom Tov, it means that it's mutar for whatever need you have. And within that, there's even a machloket Rashi and Tosafot. Tosafot himself mentions it over here a little bit, which is Rashi says you don't have to have any need. It has to have no need on Yom Tov whatsoever, and you can do Havara. Tosafot says it still needs a tzorach tzat. It has to have some need or some connection to Yom Tov. Over here he calls Havarat Chametz a tzorach Yom Tov, or tzorach tzat, enough of a tzorach. But what you see from Rabbi Kiva is that he does not permit Havara for whatever purpose you want. So because it's here that Rabbi Kiva says that he doesn't permit you to burn on Yom Tov, because he sees that as being incongruous with Yom Tov, shows you that he doesn't believe that Havara can be done for whatever purpose you want. Havara can only be done for Yom Tov purposes or for Ochel Nefesh. And because of that, it wouldn't be mutar to do Havara on Yom Tov. And that's why Rabbi Kiva comes to the conclusion that Tashbitu must be done on Erev Yom Tov and not on Yom Tov itself. Okay, now we're going to move on to a Braita. It's a difficult Braita. The Gemara will start it today and continue through tomorrow. We'll then dissect the Braita piece by piece and try to make sense out of the Braita as a whole. The basic premise of the Braita, or the basic question of the Braita, is that we have an Isser with regards to Chametz of Bal Yireh or Bal Yimatzeh. Now, the Gemara wants to understand why I need both of these. What's the difference between Bal Yireh, that you're not allowed to see chametz, and Bal Yimatzeh, that you're not allowed to find chametz? The pasuk says in Parshat Bo, in Perek Yubet, it says, Shivat Yamim Se'or Lo Yimatzeh Bevatechem. You can't find it, it cannot be in your possession. In Shmot, Perek Yud Gimel, it says, Matzot Yachel Et Shivat Yamim, Velo Yireh Lecha Chametz, Ve'er Lecha Se'or Bechol Gvulecha. So there's a restriction against seeing chametz, Lo Yireh. It also is repeated later on in Sefer Dvarim, Parshat Re'eh, which is Lo Yireh Lecha Se'or B'chol Gvulecha Shivat Yamim. So we have an Isur Bal Yireh, and we have an Isur Bal Yimatzeh, and the Gemara wants to understand why I need both of them. So Tanu Rabbanan, Shivat yamim se'or lo yimatzei bebatechem. I have an isur of bal yimatzei that you're not allowed to find it in your houses. Ma talmud lomar. Why do I need this? Halo kvar ne'amar. Doesn't already say. Now, the quote that we have in our Gemara is problematic, depending where it's quoted from. But if you quote it from Parshat Bo and Perek Yud Gimel, it should read, Lo yirei lecha chametz, v'lo yirei lecha se'or b'chol gvulecha, which is most likely what the quote is over here. Or if you're quoting it from Re'ei, it's Lo yirei lecha se'or b'chol gvulcha. So then Lo yirei lecha chametz would not appear at all. So the Gemara wants to know here, why do I need the Isser of Bal Yimatzei if I already have the Isser of Bal Yireh? Isser of Bal Yireh lefish ne'mar Lo yirei lecha se'or. So the emphasis here is on lecha. Shelcha yata ro'eh. L'cha comes to teach you in the pasuk that the problem is only when it's your chametz, but it's someone else's chametz, or it's chametz of gvoah, of hekdesh, then it's not a problem, because it's not l'cha, it's not yours. So the restriction against seeing chametz is only when you're seeing your own chametz, but when you're seeing other people's chametz, it's not problematic. Yochel, you would think if I only had the pasuk of lo yirei l'cha, yatmin, you're buried in the ground. You bury your chametz in the ground, or you put it away, you can't see it anymore. So now I'm not in violation of lo yirei lecha. Or, yikabel pikdonot min ha-nachri. Or you'll accept safety deposits from the nachri, because that's not yours. Tama lomar lo yimatzei. It may not be found in your possession. So if it's not found in your possession, that means even if it's buried, even if it's out of sight, and even if it belongs to someone else, meaning that even if it belongs to the nachri. Now, Ein li ela, this is a very difficult line in the bright, so the Gemara will come back to it immediately. It's Ein li ela b'nachri, shelo kibashto. It's only a case by a nachri where you don't have control over him. Ve'ein sharuyim cha b'chatzer, he doesn't live together with you in the courtyard. Nachri shekibashto, v'sharuyim cha b'chatzer. A nachri who you have control over and lives with you, minayin, how do I know that that's also problematic? Tamalom alom yitzad b'batechem, can't be found in your house at all. It's obvious that there's a problem in the logic here. It would make much more sense that you would exclude someone who is less close to you, someone who is not have the relationship of being under your control, before you would eliminate someone who is in your control. So why is the Gemara assuming automatically, oh, I know when the person is far away from you, not under your control, it's asur. So tell me, how do I know that if he's totally under your control, that it's asur? So again, the logic is backwards, and the Gemara will address that right away. And the Gemara's answer is, lo yimatzei bevatechem. Then the Gemara Breiter continues, Ein yalei shebevatechem. The problem here is only when it's found in your house. Biborot v'shichim v'me'arot minayin. How do I know that if it's outside of your house, it's also problematic? If it's in your possession, meaning that it's in your property, but it's not in your house. For instance, it's in the pits, the cisterns, the caves that are outside of your house. Tamalomar b'chol gvulecha, or b'chol gvulecha, depending where you're quoting the pasuk from, that anything in your boundaries, anything within your ownership. V'adayin eni omer, bibatim over mishum bayireh o bayimatzei. So at this point, I'll say, okay, I agree with you. I need bayireh and I need bayimatzei because they each include things that I don't have from the other one. But now I will say, when it comes to bayimatzei and bayireh, they will equally apply to something that's found in your house. Obayatmin, obayikabel bidanot minachri. And it also apply to things that are buried in the ground and also apply to not accepting deposits of chametz from the nachri. And also of Hekdesh. Bigvulin, but if it's outside of your house, then Shalchaya Taroya, Avala Taroya Shalachirim. Then you won't be limited. You'll be only limited that it has to be yours. But anybody else's won't be a problem. How do I know to apply that which is found by Bayireh to Bayimatzeh, and from Bayimatzeh to Bayireh? What we know by Bayimatzeh is that it cannot be found at all, and it's Bivatechem. What we have by Bayireh is that it can be anywhere because it's b'chol gvulcha or b'chol gvulecha. It's in any of your possession, but it has the miut of l'cha. So how do I know to apply the l'cha from Bayireh to Bayimatzeh? That you have an exclusion. It only has to be your chametz. Other people's chametz is not a problem. And number two is, how do I know that the issue of Bayimatzeh applies even to Bayireh? Meaning that even if it's not visible, that it's still problematic. Tamalomar, Se'or, Se'or the Gzeira Shava. The word Se'or is used in both instances, and therefore I have a Gzeira Shava between them to apply the principles of Bayimatzeh to Bayireh and Bayireh to Bayimatzeh. So Ne'amar Se'or b'batim. It says Se'or by the batim. Se'or lo yimatzeh b'vatechem. Ne'amar Se'or b'gvulin, which is lo yireh lecha Se'or. Ma Se'or amur b'vatim over mishum Bayireh b'yimatzeh. Just like the Seor that's mentioned by the Batim, you're in violation of both Bayireh Bayimantzeh, Ubayatmin, Ubayikabel Bikdonot Minachri, and you can't hide it, and you can't take into possession deposits from the Nachri, because those are all Bayimantzeh, they're found. And that says Batim. Avsor Magvulim. So to the Seor out in the boundaries, meaning that outside of your house, but in your possession, over, you'll be in violation of Bayireh Bayimantzeh, Ubayatmin, Ubayikabel Bikdonot Minachri. You'll be in violation of all of these. And just like by lo yer lecha, by the gvulim, it says it's limited to your chametz, not to other people's chametz. Shel gvoa b'hekdesh. Afsor amur bebatim shelchai ataroeh, avataroeh shelachirim shel gvoa. So too, with regards to what the chametz in your house, problem will only be your chametz, not other people's chametz, and not hekdesh's chametz. Right, that's a braita. It's a long braita. It has a lot of information in it, and some of it is actually contradictory. So the Gemara is going to go piece by piece now and break down the Braita. The first piece it deals with, which was something I raised already in the Braita itself, which is Amamar. Ein le'ele b'nachri shelo kivashto, vein sharoyim mecha b'chatzer. Says, I only know what's restricted here is a nachri who's not under your control and doesn't live with you. There for sure is chametz is asur. Nachri shekivashto sharoyim mecha b'chatzer, a nachri that's under your dominion. And he lives with you, minayin. How do you know that that's also asur b'chametz? Tamalomar lo yimatzei. It says, Klapei Laya. Where are you going with this? This is backwards. It's a backwards logic. It should be just the opposite. So Amar Abayi Ipuch. Abayi says, Eino Chanami. Flip the bright around. It should be, what's obvious is that the Nachri under your dominion and in your Chatzer is the one that's Asur. And then we ask, how do I know that even if it's not under your dominion and he's not in your Chatzer, it's still problematic? And we say, Tamalomar lo yimatzei. So Abayi flips the bright around in order to resolve the problem. Rav Amar lo tipuch. Don't flip the Braita around, and I'll explain to you how to read the Braita now. Vareshakoi, it's going on the earlier part of the Braita, which is Shecha iataroeh, aval ataroeh shel acharim shel gvoa. It says, by lo yer lecha, lecha teaches you that only your chametz is problematic, but other people's chametz, and hekdesh's chametz is not problematic. En le'ele b'nachri shelo kivashto v'en shorim mecha b'chatzer. That's only true by a nachri that's not under your dominion and doesn't live with you. Then he's excluded, and his chametz is not problematic. How do I know that a nachri that is under your dominion and lives in your chatzer, how do I know this? So that also is very strange, what Rava just said. And the Gemara asked that right away. Now the way you're reading it, Rava, the Braita is looking for a heter. It's saying, okay, nachri is excluded, and his chametz is not problematic. How do I know that this nachri is also excluded? And instead, the Braita brings a pasuk, says, no, it's not excluded, it's actually chayav. Nasiv Kalakurali Surah and ends up bringing you a pasuk v'lo yimatzei, saying that it's a sur. Gemara says, Mishum Sanemar Lecha, Lecha, Trey Zimne. It says, Lecha, Lecha, twice. Now, it actually says it three times. The Lecha, Lecha appears in Shmot, in Perek Yud Gimel, Lecha, Lecha, Chametz, Lecha, Seor, Bechol, Gvulecha. And it appears once in Re'ei, Lecha, Lecha, Seor, Bechol, Gvulecha, Shivat Yamim. So we know, and we, from the Gemara in Beitzah, that we can't assume whatever's written by Seor appears by Chametz or Chametz by Seor. So the fact that it's written twice in Perek Yud Gimel in Shmot is not relevant, because there one time it says L'Erelecha Chametz, one time it says L'Erelecha Seor. So I need those two lechas, one for Chametz and one for Seor. Problem is, from Parshat Re'ei, where it says L'Erelecha Seor again, why do I need lecha over there? So since it's unnecessary, Rashi says, I'll take that lecha and I'll apply it to Lo Yimatzei. So just like there's L'Erelecha Chametz, so too there is, or L'Erelecha Seor, there will also be Lo Yimatzei lecha. And the lecha will apply, and that's the exclusion over here. Lo yimatzei is not coming to say it's asur, but rather say it's mutar. It's mutar because we apply the word lecha to lo yimatzei as well. Okay, so now the Gemara continues to try to understand. Amar, yocho yatmin v'kabel piktanot min anachrim. You would think that if you only had lo yer lecha, that you can't see the chametz, that you could bury the chametz or put it out of sight and accept deposits of chametz from the nachri. Tamalomar lo yimatzei. So it says you can't have it at all. You can't find it in your possession, or which makes it asur for things that you can't see, and would make it asur to accept deposits of chametz from the nachri. Hamar tereisha shalchay ataroeh, avataroeh shalachirim. Didn't we just say before in the braita that lecha comes to teach you that your chametz is asur, but the chametz of a nachri is not problematic. So that of the nachri, or shal gvoa, or of hekdesh is not problematic. So you have a steerer internally in the Braita. In one place you're saying that the Nachri's chametz or other people's chametz is not a problem. And now you're saying over here that other person's chametz is a problem. So which is it? Gemara says, Lokasha. Had the Kabbalah Le'achrayut, had the Lo Kabbalah Le'achrayut. Makes a difference on how you accepted the deposit of chametz from the other individual. The other individual gives you the chametz. If you accept responsibility for that chametz, then it's problematic, because then it becomes like yours. On the other hand, if you accept no responsibility for it, then it remains their chametz, and you're not on the hook for it, and it's not problematic for you. What does that mean, that ha-kabbalah le'achrayut, that he accepted responsibility for it? That happens to be a machlok between the Gaonim, the Rishonim, about what it means. The Bahag says that means that even if you accepted to be a Shomer Chinam, accepting to be a Shomer Chinam is sufficient to make you obligated now, and as if it's your chametz. On the other hand, most of the Rishonim, the Rosh, the Ri, the Tosafot, the Rambam in Baba Metzia say that you have to be a Shomer Sachar. You have to accept on yourself the obligations of a Shomer Sachar. That's real Achrayut. And that makes it your chametz in that case, because you have responsibility for it. There are others, and Tosafot brings a shita like this in the Gemara in Baba Metzia as well, that only if you accept the responsibility of onus, basically you become a Shoel. If you're a Shoel and you're chayav on all those onsin, that's when you kabel achrayut, that's when you become responsible for the chametz. Rashi, we'll see in tomorrow's daf Avon Alp, seems to say that kabbalat achrayut is only when you have utilization of it. You can actually use the chametz. That makes it into your responsibility. Depending on which opinion you take in the Rishonim, there's a difference here between whether you've taken responsibility or not taken responsibility. So this is like the case that Rava told the people of Mechuzah. Rava is the Rav or the Mara Atra of Mechuzah. You have to eliminate the chametz of the troops from your house. The people of Mechuzah were obligated to provide food and rations for the army that was passing through. And it was their responsibility, and they used to have to make the food and take care of these troops that came through there. Because he says, Kevin to Ilum Mignev, if it was stolen from you, Ilum Mitved, or if you lost it, Bishutai Chukai, it would be your responsibility to replace it. Since it's your responsibility to replace it for the provisions that you are making for the army, it's as if it's yours. Ubiitu Lishlumei Dilchon Dami, and since you would have to pay for it and compensate them for that loss, it's as if it's yours, Vasur, and it's a problem on Pesach for you to keep this in your house. Gemara says, that works well according to one who says, Davar Gorim Namamon Kemamon Dami. Something that causes a monetary loss is the equivalent of money. So therefore over here, so too here. The object here protects them from having a loss. If they lose the object, then it would cause them a loss and they would have to pay money. So as long as they have the object in their hands, it's protecting them from that loss. So therefore, it's kimamon dami, and that's why they're responsible over here, and that's why it's a problem with chametz. El demanda amar lav kimamon dami, the one who says, all right, so now, el demanda amar lav kimamon dami, according to one who says it's not have monetary worth, ma'ikul ameimar. What are you going to say here? How come you're responsible for this chametz, and it's you have to even fire it? So Magar says, shiny hocha, damar lo yimatzei. There's an additional requirement here in the Torah, lo yimatzei, that cannot be found whatsoever in your possession. Ikadamri, some formulate it this way. It makes sense, or it's easier to explain this according to one who says that something that causes money or protects you against the monetary loss has no monetary value, because that's why the Torah has to say lo yimatzei, to tell you you're responsible despite the fact that there is no monetary loss over here. The one who says that something that protects you from monetary loss has monetary value, why do I need the extra pasuk of lo yimatzei? It says itzrich, you still need it. I would have thought, that as long as it is extant, as long as this food is present, you have no obligation. And so since you have no obligation, maybe you should be able to keep it in your possession. It's as if it's theirs. Because all you have to do is, if it's in your possession, if the chametz is still here and they show up for it, you hand it to them and you're done. So maybe there is no real responsibility or no money. The responsibility or the monetary obligation only happens once you've lost it or you've done something wrong with it. So until you've done something wrong with it or lost it, you really have no monetary obligation. And so maybe you should not be subject to the lo yimatzei. That's what the Torah comes to teach you. No, lo yimatzei means even though currently you have no obligation and currently you don't have any loss, but because it can cause a loss or because it can have this problem, that's enough ownership to make it problematic for you over here. And that's what it means, kamash malon, that you have to eliminate that or remove that from your possession. Okay, we're going to stop over here.